Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Employment law solicitor Richard Grogan of Grogan Associates joins me now to answer your questions in this area of employment law and its overlap largely with COVID. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning. How are you? Sorry for putting up the awful photo of you on Twitter earlier on.
Yeah, yes. You're very cruel. It's 14 years old and it was taken as a joke at the time, but it has dogged me for over a decade ever since. Never mind. Let's move straight on into people's questions, can we please? Mary in Kildare asks, Richard, if an employee who has face-to-face contact with members of the public but refuses to be vaccinated, will they be able to work face-to-face or not?
That's going to be a real difficult issue. One of the problems is with the health and safety advice is that you have to keep this distance. So when businesses reopen, it's going to be very difficult for those who are not vaccinated to be brought back into the workplace. So there's going to be issues. Can they work remotely? If they can't, then there's going to be health and safety issues there as to whether they can actually come back into the workplace. This is a real problem that's coming up.
And presumably, in an awful lot of cases, this could end up happening where people want to get vaccinated but haven't yet had the opportunity.
Well, this is going to really arise when we can get businesses open and when people can have the opportunity to vaccinate. I mean, what I'm hearing from a number of businesses at the moment is that they're actually looking at the issue of no jab, no entry. So in other words, to protect their staff, they're going to be saying you're not coming in without without the vaccination.
Can they do that?
Well, I think any business is going to have a choice when it comes back. The current, if you take level three, when everybody went into shops, you had to be this 2 metres apart and all the rest. Shops, barbers, hairdressers, they're not going to be able to open with the same number of staff there if they have to keep the distance apart. So people will lose their jobs. Mm. But they won't have to have the same distance apart if everybody's vaccinated there. So it's going to be a choice. There's huge issues. Can you make somebody get vaccinated? No, you can't. But then if I take a barber shop that had 6 chairs last February of 2020, it only may be able to have 2 now, or 4. So if there's only 4, 2 people could lose their jobs. So that's going to be the choices that are going to be there for people to make. It's a tough choice. I'm not saying which is the right one, but there's going to be an issue of how many jobs we can keep.
Paul asks, will or could vaccinations become necessary for attendees and workers at live events? I run an events company and I hope to start again in July.
Well, I think yesterday you saw a report on RT about a live event in Barcelona. Now, they tested antigen testing coming in, but that is a way that people were there enjoying a live event indoors. So, yes, I think it's going to be one of those issues that businesses are going to start looking at. You know, can they operate safely? Because the whole issue is operating safely. That's the big issue from a health and safety perspective.
How can I ensure, Richard, that my employer implements the clock off and switch off initiative? This is the new code of conduct on the right to disconnect, largely for people who are working at home who can end up working every single hour that they're not asleep.
Very simply, if your contract says you work 9 to 5 or 9 to 5, and you're being contacted out of hours, you simply send your employer an email. Now, once you've done that, you've made a complaint both under health and safety legislation and the Organisational Working Time Act. And if that's not respected, then, or there's any negative attitude or back to you on it or any threat because of it, you've got a claim for penalisation to the WRC. Or you say to the employer, look, I'm finishing up at my contractual hours. And if they insist you work over that, then you have a claim to the WRC. Very simple.
It is, but it's also a very aggressive response. Is there something more graduated?
Well, I think the first one is the email that goes in and says, look, I've been contacted out of hours. Then it puts it over to the employer to take action. If the employer doesn't take action, then the only way that you're going to do it is by going to the WRC and dealing with it there. Now, no employer wants to end up in that because then there ends up the WRC can send in an inspector and suddenly you find that it becomes even more rigid for the employer. So the employer has to, there's certain flexibilities there, but the employer has to respect a person's right to finish at their finishing times.
Another question.
Unless they give...
Yeah. Sorry, go on. Unless
they give 24 hours notice in advance that somebody needs to work a bit later, which is fair enough, or it's an emergency situation. And by the way, it's emergency, not just we have somebody who wants to order something.
Another question. I was unable to take all my annual leave last year. Have I any right to carry it over, or is it completely at the discretion of my employer?
First of all, you have to get your 20 days between the 1st of April and the 31st of March. If you didn't get that period of time, then unless the employer agrees, you actually have a claim to the WRC for breach of the Organisational Working Time Act, because the holidays are treated as a fundamental right. So the employer actually has an obligation to make sure that you got your holidays in the annual leave year. It's the employer's obligation, not yours.
This is an interesting one. I no longer want to work from home. What is the best way to approach this with my employer?
I would say ask them. You know, I mean, this is a great thing. Most people's contract actually will have a place of work, and you phone the employer or you say, look, my contract says that I will work from such an address. I'd like to come back to work. And by the way, there's a lot of people who want to get back to work in the workplace. They don't. As many people who want to work remotely, there's an equal number, if not more, who want to be back in the workplace.
This is one I suspect that you're going to find yourself dealing with an awful lot in the coming years. Who is liable in the event that a worker gets COVID at work and they can prove that it was at work and is left with long COVID?
That's the employer's obligation.
Absolutely, absolutely on them.
If the employer has taken the appropriate health and safety steps, then the employer has a defence to that. But that's where you're going to have issues of employers having to say, looking at vaccination within the workplace and having people in the workplace, coming into the workplace or the shop, who aren't vaccinated. So this is where you're going to have an issue of employers saying in certain places, look, sorry, all our staff are vaccinated, you're not getting in without a vaccination certificate.
There would be a pretty heavy burden of proof, though, on me to prove that you as my employer were the occasion of my contracting COVID, wouldn't it?
It's going to be very difficult to say that's where you contracted it. That's the difficulty. So if you're going to work, did you get it on the bus or did you get it at work? This is going to go back to the contact tracing that goes through, so that if it is related to somebody else in the workplace. The real issue here is what's going to come up is that you have a non-vaccinated employee in the workplace, you have a vaccinated worker. The vaccinated worker can still actually spread COVID-19. That's going to be the problem. So this is where you're going to have difficulties with a mixed workplace.
If reverse contact tracing was to trace it back to a workplace, do you think that would end up trumping all defences?
No, it will depend on what steps the employer took. So if the employer had all the appropriate steps in place and the safety measures there, they don't it's not 100% liability provision in Ireland for anything. Provided you've taken the appropriate safety steps, you can't be held responsible in those circumstances.
There was a bit of a wow judgment from the European Court of Human Rights yesterday, or maybe earlier on in the week, with them saying that, look, yes, there is actually, it is all right for states to mandatorily require COVID vaccinations. There's somebody who's texted in and wondering, does that have any bearing on employers here? The court found that while the Czech policy had interfered with the right to private life, that there was a need to protect public health and therefore they could require mandatory vaccinations.
All right. That actually related to children, but it is relevant to adults as well. So it's important that. In fact, we changed the legislation here in Ireland in the Health Act 1947 to 2020. It was slipped in at committee stage, whereby the Minister for Health has a right to regulate that everybody gets vaccinated in Ireland.
Okay.
Final
question, Richard. Can an employer require you to tell them where it is that you're going on holiday? I'm assuming that what's implicit in that question is that the employer wants to know are they going to a COVID hotspot.
Yeah. This issue now is going to be relevant, yes, because that's a health and safety issue. because the employer can say, look, if you're going abroad, if you're going on holidays, I need to know where you're going on holidays, because I may need to take that into account for health and safety purposes. So if somebody has gone to a red country, as we call it that way, then the employer will say, we can't have you back in the workplace till you've
Done your two weeks.
Yeah, the 2 weeks. So that's a, that is reasonable for the employer to request that. And if the employee says, well, I'm not going to tell you, then the employer is entitled to turn around and say, well, I'm going to presume that that's a red country and I'm going to take the appropriate health and safety issues. That's what's going to happen.
Richard Grogan, thank you very much for all of that. We'll speak to you again soon. Coming up after the break, Jen Hogan.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.